Jazz, 91.9 WCLK Atlantis Jazz Station, Jamal Ahmed, and it is that time of the month again, time for Friday Jazz at the High Museum, of course, hosted by me, and featuring some stellar music, also some wonderful art as well. I think it's all art at the end of the day, and we actually have one of the artists who's going to be premiering, and actually he's already been doing it for many, many years, but Steve Dance, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing just great. Good to see you.
It's a pleasure to see you. It's a pleasure to see you. And also we have the manager of public relations at the High Museum, Marcy Tate. How you doing, Marcy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you too.
So let's talk to you, Steve, because I think this is my first time interviewing you, and I've been privy to your work for many years. Give a quick bio of who you are, where you're from, and all that good stuff.
Okay. Born and raised in Athens, Georgia. My dad was a jazz player, a musician overall. He was on the School of Music faculty at the University of Georgia. He met my mom in college, and she was a dancer and a choreographer, and together they ran the Redcoat Band at the University of Georgia for 37 years.
Wow.
So I literally grew up on the campus in music classes and band classes, and my dad started the jazz program over there, and so kind of came at it that way. Started improvising about 13. Went into very heavily on the composition side, moved to L.A., spent 10 years in Los Angeles scoring TV and film before I moved back to Georgia. Mm-hmm. Got hired at UGA to run their jazz studies program for 20 years. And while I was doing that, I was also composing, done a lot of work for National Geographic and Discovery. I scored Super Bowl 45. And so I've been doing, you know, a lot of the scoring side as well.
Gotcha. So, and I'm sure that's only half of it, man. So that's really incredible.
Well,
let's talk about growing up in Athens, because we know Athens is a music town. You
Indeed.
Know, it's globally is known as a hub of a lot of great artists come out of Athens.
Yeah.
They've been doing so for many years. But we know Athens as being like this hub for this kind of alternative rock scene, and everyone knows, you know, you're being on the jazz side. Like, how did you work on that side as opposed to that other side that was so active in Athens?
Well, I tell you, I mean, growing up at that time, I was 8 years old, and I had my bike, and on any given Saturday night after a football game, all fraternity row down Millage Avenue would have bands, and I would ride my bike up and down the street, hear the band that I wanted to hear, and I would kind of ride around in the alley, you know, slide under the fence and hang out, and I got to see Sam and Dave and, you know, groups like, you know, the Four Tops and Doug Clark and the Hot Nuts. And, I mean, bands that just literally just kind of hit me to just something that, you know, you didn't see on a day-to-day basis in Athens necessarily. Just really great live music. With my dad, I heard literally everything I needed to hear. I mean, every time a new record would come out, he'd bring it home and we'd, you know, lie on the living room floor and he'd crank up the speakers and listen to the new Basie record or the new Ray Charles record or the new Miles record. And that's kind of how I just formulated what, you know, what I knew. There was some great clubs in town. There's a place called The Last Resort that was a real hub of kind of all the coffee shop, you know, I mean, Joan Baez, people like that played there over the years. But later on in the late 60s, early 70s, people like Freddie Hubbard came through, and there was a jazz festival that was attached to a bike race that began back in the 80s, and they had just some incredible names, you know, people like Mose Allison and amazing folks, and they'd close off the street, and it was just an amazing thing. And I had the opportunity to play with Eddie Harris on a weekend that he was touring and came through, and there were a couple of really good venues that booked jazz occasionally, but I heard so much of it at home, I was good.
Yeah, you know? So you had it at home, and of course you guys had a pretty healthy scene.
Yeah, absolutely.
In Athens back then and still to today.
Yeah.
We're going to get to Marcy in another question, but I want to ask you because you're a pianist, and that's, you know, hands down my personal favorite instrument in jazz. No knock to anyone else, but it's just the instrument, and because I love the records that pianists create.
Yeah.
I think they're some of the best records in jazz music. Could you cite three pianists in jazz music who have affected you more than any other, and why was their influence so strong?
Horace Silver, number one. Wynton Kelly, number two. Number three is a tie between Oscar Peterson and Jimmy Smith. Now, Jimmy not being a pianist, but man, when I heard him, it just literally lit me up, and I just said, I've got to do that. I've got to figure out how that works. And there were a couple folks around Athens that were B3 players, and so you know, I got to sit. I mean, I was again 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, sitting on that bench with those two Leslies on either side, and that sucker just moving the.
It's got power.
That's and those three for different reasons. Horace for his rhythmic sensibility, his Latin feel, which I have a very strong. Connection. I spent some pivotal time in Puerto Rico as in my 20s, and I really connect with that music, with the Latin side of things. And Wynn Kelly, just swinging. My dad was in the Third Army here in at Fort Mac in the 50s, and he was in with Finest Newborn, and Wynn Kelly was in at that time, and so he actually knew some of these folks, and it was just an amazing time. So I've always had my ear kind of tilted toward Wynton, and Oscar, is just, I don't know, just swings so hard. I mean, it's outrageous.
Yeah, he makes like one piano sound like three.
Yeah, I mean, the closest I ever came to really wanting to maybe not play the piano anymore was hearing one new record that came out and just hearing this guy and just going, my God.
Yeah.
It's just untouchable. I mean, this is before his stroke, when he would do these things with two hands and octaves that, most of us have trouble executing with one hand, much less in the tempos that he would, it was just amazing. But to that list of three, after that is just, another 10 that are just almost as important.
Oh, yeah.
Gene Harris and Cedar Walton and just on and on.
God bless them, of course.
Duke Pearson, man.
Yeah, our love Duke. Our own here.
My
dad
knew Duke well, and, I loved his records, and I still listen to his records, all the time.
Yeah, and he's actually credited as one of the guys who really helped introduce Brazilian music to Blue Note back in the day.
Absolutely.
We have a huge affinity for him here
for
obvious reasons. If you're just tuning in, it's Jamal Lockman speaking with pianist Steve Dance and Miss Marcy Tate, manager of public relations over there at the High Museum of Art. We're talking about Friday Jazz at the High happening this Friday. Marcy, I want to talk to you about what's happening at the High, because one great thing about this event is that it's almost like you get to go to two events for the price of one and for one thing, because you get to check out the music, but you also get to check out some really brilliant art. And I love the girl with the pearl earring. I think that was a brilliant exhibit. Talk about what's happening now.
So this Friday, we're actually having a Parisian-themed Friday Jazz event in honor of our exhibition, The Art of the Louvre's Tuileries Garden. So the Tuileries Garden is the famed Parisian garden right outside of the Louvre, and we've really transformed the High into Paris on Peachtree for the exhibition. So when you come, when you walk into the piazza, you'll see these holly trees and planter boxes, just like the ones you would see in the Tuileries, as well as some beautiful bronze sculptures. And the exhibition features other large-scale sculptures, as well as paintings, photographs, drawings, all that depict the Tuileries and that were inspired by the garden. So it's really an amazing exhibition, more than 100 works, some of which have never traveled outside of Paris. And also on view, we have Go West, Art of the American West from the Buffalo Bill Center of the West in Cody, Wyoming. And that exhibition covers about 100 years of Art of the American West from 1830 to 1930. So it's more than 250 objects, really amazing exhibition of Art of the American West that people definitely don't want to miss. So there's kind of something for everyone this Friday.
I can't wait to check it out. And I want to ask you the final question, Steve, because one thing I love about this event, too, is it provides jazz a home. It's very hard for a lot of jazz musicians to find places around the city to play to an audience this big. Talk about why you love this gig, because you're a bit of a staple on this.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is what you alluded to, is that art is art, and art in the big sense of the word encompasses so many different things. And I think what the Woodruff Art Center has done here is a really beautiful thing. They kind of bring different elements, disparate elements, seemingly on the one hand. On the other hand, when you get there and you experience just the vibe of the feeling of being able to walk those halls, see the art, come down, see the music, hear the music, It's a wonderful thing, and the other thing I love about it is just the community that shows up to enjoy it. It's just a beautiful night, you know, yeah. In Atlanta culture, you know, I've gone to hear some of my friends that are playing it too, and you go, and it's one of those things. You leave the place and you go, you know, God, Atlanta's a cool city, you know.
Yeah.
It's got some nice stuff. It makes you feel connected to something that makes you happy to live here.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the importance of events like this, because it really does enhance not only the nightlife, but the allure of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So we have to commend you, Marcy, and the good folk over there at the High Museum for helping the city culturally. It's in more ways than one. More ways than one. Thank you so much. And again, this is happening this Friday, the 15th, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's Friday the 15th from 5 to 10 p.m.
5 to 10 p.m. If folk want to find out more information, they can go to www.high.org, and you can find out more information about High Museum and Friday Jazz, the High Museum of Art. Again, we have pianist Steve Dance. Thank you so much, Steve, for coming down and joining us here in our studios.
It's been such a pleasure to see you.
Yes, I look forward to seeing you on Friday.
Absolutely.
Definitely. And also Marcy Tate, Manager of Public Relations at the High Museum of Art. Thank you all so much for coming down.
Thank you.